I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Do you understand what we're about to do?
Nope, but okay. I'm fine with it, whatever.
Okay, great. So the idea is you sign into your Amazon account.
Okay.
And then I browse through it.
Oh, that's exciting. Let me try to guess my password. Oh, when I need a laugh, there's a helping people. But Tom Fox talking to these funny people. He's asking what they find in the town stories. Can somebody yell out the name of the show, please? It's my mate, Water Toaster. Oh, it's my mate, Water Toaster. Yeah, yeah, it's my mate, Water Toaster.
Normally, Catherine Ryan, when we start the show, I go back to your first ever order.
Great.
But can I just say something? I'm in your Amazon account right now, and I can see your latest order, and it's so unbelievably funny. I'm tempted to break the format.
Okay.
And just go to your latest order first.
It's husband-related, let me just say that.
What, the Pest Expel Realistic Falcon Wind Action Decoy Scarer Deterrent?
Yes. And it's not the only one I bought.
The Big Cheese Wind Action Owl. You bought a giant owl.
Yeah.
I mean, please share with the class.
Well, those who follow my socials, and it's fine if you don't, will know that my husband, Bobby, is a Canadian man who lives and dies by the quality of our lawn. And he's really excited that spring has sprung and he's relayed all the grass and it looks so beautiful. But he just gazes upon this garden day in and day out, and he's noticed that the birds are starting to pull it up and he doesn't want that. And so he was looking for help, and I said, what we need is a realistic wind-powered falcon and or owl, birds of prey.
Yes.
So we've ordered, and they've arrived actually already this morning.
Delivered today. Just happened.
It's really exciting.
So when you get back after this, your lawn is going to be noticeably better thanks to the giant owls.
Yep.
But this works. They did this in... Well, they do in Trafalgar Square, but they get a real one. It's amazing. They get a falcon to come along and all the birds just going on.
Yep. And this one's great because it's not battery operated or anything, but its head will swing in the wind. And so that makes it realistic because it's looking around. And so the magpies are like, forget it.
Okay.
The crows.
It's nice when you use nature to fight nature.
That's nature.
It's a civil war.
Yeah.
Nature is a civil war. And as long as you can encourage it, and there's no bloodshed. There's just a beautiful lawn. Why is it men get to an age? Has he always been obsessed with the lawn? We get to a point where we're obsessed with mowing and lawns.
It has definitely accelerated in his older age. But when he was a teenager, sexy young thing, I already loved him. One of his chores, his very gendered chore with four sisters, was mowing the lawn. And 16 years old, he'd be doing that shirtless, and he cared.
Oh my God. I'd imagine him doing it in slow motion.
Me too. It's like a Diet Coke commercial.
It really is. So you loved him then when he was mowing lawns. And now do you love him when he's buying giant owls over your lawn? Like, it's a lovely thing though, right? Because you left him in Canada and then here he is.
I mean, whatever makes him happy. And I think that his lawn care obsession is adorable. And it speaks to a demographic of man who will message me on social media and say, oh, what kind of mowers Bobby's using? What pesticide is he using? How is he rooting this up? They'll ask me lawn-related questions. And I scroll back to 2 or 3 years ago, and they would have been sexually explicit messages. And I've got older. They've got older. They're not just sending me dick pics anymore. They just want to know what my husband's doing with the lawn.
Yeah, they want to know about your molehills rather than your lady bumps.
Exactly.
Oh, it's beautiful.
It's nice. Vitamins B and C and D. Get it for myself, for my health,
on the cheap. Gotta stay in shape, but I'm so lazy. Crime online, next day delivery. Here's what we're going to do now, okay? So we now know the latest order. Change the format for you, Catherine. I hope you appreciate that. We're going back to your first ever orders.
Exciting.
On Amazon. Well, it is.
Great format. I really should have paid attention before I arrived. I was just happy to see you. I was like, whatever.
I mean, that's fine, because you're happy to see me so you can forget what I'm doing, and then suddenly I'm exposing all the harsh truths. Although, actually, there's nothing to expose here. But it's a lovely thing, because we see in May 2010.
2010! That's so old.
Mm-hmm. It's 14 years ago. Neighborhood Animals, Baby Einstein. Lots of Baby Einstein. Oh. Get clever. All Baby Einstein. This suggest to me that someone said to you, oh, you should try Baby Einstein, and you hit Amazon hard all on one day, the 14th of May. The only order you did in the whole year on Amazon was on the 14th of May, which is now known as Catherine Ryan Amazon Day.
Wow. 2010, 14th of May, my daughter, Violet, who's now almost 15, would have been 11 months old. And I was probably buying birthday gifts first birthday.
Oh, it's adorable. And there's the Baby Einstein thing. Is there a slightly cynical stab at the parents trying to make their kids intelligent thing? Because there's no point in doing that, really, when they're 11 months old.
No, it was certainly a trend for a time. Baby Einstein did very well, saying that they'll learn phonics and they'll know colors and vehicles and you must let them listen to this classical music and they'll become, you know, but now...
But why would you want, and this isn't what you're doing here, but why do people want their kids to be intelligent ahead of time? There's this thing, isn't there, where I once saw a guy in a restaurant. I couldn't eat because I was so shocked by what I was seeing. I was just sitting there going, Beth, you need to look at this. And he had probably about 11th month old baby, you know, just gorgeous thing. And he had his partner, I think it was her parents and his kid, and he was holding up flashcards. He was doing the flashcards thing.
But it is entertaining to look at photos and to learn words. And let's say I'm a baby. I'm interested in language. I'm like, how do I say grapes? How do I say cheese?
Yeah.
And if you'd seen that same family with a tablet showing their child like WWE or something.
Yeah.
That you would have judged that the same way.
I mean, very judgy. Don't sit near me in a restaurant.
Whatever will keep your child quiet in a restaurant. So Violet used to be great in restaurants. She's 15 now nearly, but the two babies that I most recently had, they're terrible in a restaurant.
Screens in restaurants?
Yeah, anything in restaurants. I don't care. Because I'm trying to make them more civilized. Mm. Because we had them so close together, we just didn't go out a lot. And my son Fred especially is like one of those kids. You've got one of those, don't you?
I've got one of those.
Or you've had.
Do you worry about going again then? What happens if you get another one who's a full-on?
That's exactly what we're scared of. So I'm scared of having another baby full stop because I have enough. And it, you know, I don't want to go there, but you don't know what you're going to get. And we could have a child who we'd still love very much, but with perhaps complex medical issues. And then that changes the whole dynamic of our family. Or we could have a child who's chill. We could have a child who's like Fred and not chill.
Rolling of the dice.
You don't know what you're going to get.
Yeah.
And some people would say, leave well enough alone. Also, I think the two that we just had nearly killed my husband. And I just don't want to get, and maybe men don't suffer from this in the same way. Though some of you are mindful about your age, you maybe don't want to be an 80-year-old dad with small children, but some men, Al Pacino, Bernie Eccleston, they don't mind.
Jagger.
Nick Cage.
I think they're trying to repopulate the earth. It's just...
Well, they don't have to do very much.
Well, this is the thing. I interviewed a very famous male comedian. I won't name him.
Go on.
It rhymes with Dimmy Dar.
Oh.
And I asked him about his new baby, because he's an older dad.
Yeah. Well, he's not old.
He's not old. Yeah, exactly. Which actually, I think, is par for a dad, 30s maybe.
Mm.
Whatever. Bit older. And I said, how are you finding the nights? Not sleeping. He just laughed at me.
You did not ask Jimmy Carr.
Of course I did. Of course I did. It was an interview. It was on the radio. I was like, Jimmy, what's it like? How are the nights? Because, you know, you've got gigs and you come back and the baby's waking. He just laughed. He did his Jimmy Carr laugh.
Yeah.
Because someone else deals with that. So you're absolutely right. Those millionaire older dads, you just, you know.
And he's very hands-on dad and he loves his kids, but they have, I think, really good boundaries even because they're like, to continue being a millionaire, I need to work and I need to sleep at night because I have many dependents. I mean, that's the reality of it.
Yeah.
But for me, I biologically won't be able to have kids for that much longer. So I need to decide now.
That's the pressure, isn't it? I remember someone telling me they used to sell, it was Tom Stade. He used to sell books at the back of his gig. And he would say to people, he heard from this great sales thing. If you say I'm only here for 5 minutes, you sell that many more. It's the same thing. Your biological clock is saying, I've only got 10 more minutes. And it makes you buy more.
That's exactly what's happening. Because if I were 27, I'd say this is enough kids and I'm going to enjoy the rest of my life.
Yeah.
I'm only here for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
You took the words right out of my egg's mouth. My egg's whore mouth. We're only here for 5 minutes. And when you're an older woman, your eggs start to, that's why you're more likely to have twins because they all run to the finish line. They're like, come on, go, go.
Can you imagine?
No. Listen, yeah.
If you got twins, I think Bobby would, I don't know what he would do. Like, I think what you should do to keep Bobby away is get some inflatable twins and put them on a string in his garden and he'll just be so scared he'll go nowhere.
I'm going to put a falcon in my vagina. A realistic wind-powered bird of prey.
We like to listen to toast and we're not the kind who would boast even in spite of the host. We still like to listen to Toast. La 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 la.
Let's go through now to 2011. Only three orders placed in 2011.
I was just warming up to Amazon, plus I was poor.
Well, that's interesting. So this is before massive success has come along at this point. But you did spend, on the 8th of April, again, maybe getting towards your daughter's birthday, £180 on the Step 2 Naturally Playful Storybook Cottage. It's a lovely sort of, it's a, just like a play den, basically.
I don't remember that.
There you go.
Oh, right. Yeah,
there
that
you
was
go.
A garden.
That old friend. Oh, it's a garden. It's a garden shed for kids.
It was great.
It's where you store kids in the winter.
Those seem like a good idea. They are single-use plastics, I'm sure. And in the British gardens, they get wet, they get moldy. They don't get played with for long, but they're a big reveal on a birthday.
This is the problem with birthday presents. Mm-hmm. It's the reveal. So I got my son a, what they call those scooters that you stand on.
Yeah.
You know the things. And it's a big reveal. Oh, my God, it's amazing. It's so cool. And then within 2 days, it's just not touched it. Because it's all about the reveal, like, and the same with this. And this shed, this just get they just get damp, and they don't really want to go in there because it's muddy, and there's probably some animal in there.
Yeah, a fox has made it.
Exactly, it's where a fox now lives.
This is wonderfully nostalgic. I love remembering that house. We had some good times. She used to sit on the roof and slide off. That's how we'd use the house.
That's good. That's not what the roof's for, so of course the kids are going to do that. They're going to do that. The thing is no rule. Okay, so 2011. So this is before Bobby...
Much before.
So this is you gigging.
This is me gigging. I was still extricating myself even from my first relationship with my daughter's father.
Yeah.
I was living in a really tiny one-bedroom flat in Crouch End. And things were, this was a dicey time in my life.
Okay.
I think. I'm so happy all the time now. I almost forget any time that I was vulnerable. But I did not love what was going on at this point.
And dicey because of emotional stuff with your ex, dicey because you're not earning loads, because you're throwing the dice to try and see if this stand-up thing's going to work.
All of that. And I'm a single mother in a foreign country, 3,000 miles away from anyone who loves me. And all I got is a little garden house.
What made you do this?
It was my backup property. I was paying bedroom tax on that.
You were getting ready to move into it.
Yeah.
If the gigs fail, that's where I'm going to live. Okay. And then this is a weird one.
Okay.
5th of May, 2011. A dicey time. I wonder if, I don't know what's happened here, you've bought 4 copies of Campus by Andy Nyman on DVD.
Oh, yeah.
What's happened here?
So I had a role in Campus.
Okay.
Yeah, and at that time, you couldn't stream things.
Yeah.
I think Netflix was in its infancy and they would deliver DVDs.
Yes.
And my family abroad probably didn't believe that I had a role in a Channel 4 comedy sitcom. And they said, please, can we see it? And so I purchased DVD copies and sent them. And then I learned that actually they have blockers on country-specific DVD players.
You've learned a hard lesson about region formatting there.
That's what it's called.
Oh, region 1, region 2.
You knew this, Tom?
Oh, of course.
You and I were friends at the time. You didn't tell me.
If you'd asked me, if you'd just messaged me, I'd have told you in a heartbeat.
Mm.
I'm happy to help with nerd things like that.
Yeah.
But I just love the idea of, our Catherine has gone. And these are the, like in the old days, you might get a telegram.
Yeah.
And now the Campus DVD lands on their doormat. They can't watch it. So I'd still doubt if you were in it. I think that was a very convenient.
I'm on the box cover. I mean, it was a leading part.
Oh my God, I love it.
Opposite the wonderful Andy Nyman.
But look, this is amazing because we see the things crossing over, right? Dicey time, buying the toy for your daughter. Oh, okay, hang on, we can click through.
Yeah, dicey times. And then you're right, Tom. I got paid £25,000 to be in Campus.
Wow. Biggest payday so far at that
6
point.
Episodes. It was a life-changing amount of money because I worked in an office. And when I started working in that office, I think my salary was £16,000 a year plus bonuses if I sold above a certain amount, which I never did because I'm a terrible salesperson. And I would just tell people, you don't really need this.
You're too honest.
Yeah.
As soon as I know, if I'm talking to someone, as soon as I've got the lie bit kicking in, that's it. I'm done for. Mm-hmm. This is why I could never have an affair. Because I'd just be the whole time going, I just can't do it.
No.
The voice is too loud.
An affair would be stressful.
I can't.
But if you think about like a meth addict, it's the same impulse. Well, I was kind of almost about to have an affair at this time.
Oh, really?
So I was splitting from my child's father, which was complicated enough.
Mm.
But then I fell into like immediately another romantic relationship, which I... I'm kind of glad about, because I needed to extricate myself and it was the thing that eventually got me out.
Okay.
But it was cowardly and it was stressful.
So because what, infidelity, or because it just meant that...
It's sort of infidelity. Like I was trying to leave this guy, I didn't like him anymore, but he wasn't getting the message. And so to him it was infidelity. But to me, I was like, I told you a year ago, get out.
He was saying to him, I want to split up with you. And he was saying, no, you don't.
Yeah. But I was quite young and quite scared. Like, it was all messy. Messy times still, Tom. It wasn't an affair on the set of Campus. That would have been a better story for the podcast.
Yeah. Can we make that one up and just run with that?
I was having an affair with Jonathan Bailey.
Thank you very much indeed. Clip that. Cheers, guys. Find us on Twitter and Instagram. At is the main way trying to jam. It's simple like a Sony film with cheese and ham. At Toasterboard, at Toasterboard, at Toasterboard, I swear it's not a scam, I think. All right, Catherine, let's move into 2012 now. Yeah. No orders placed in 2012. Tough times.
I told you.
Yeah.
I was busy having the affair.
By
then, I think I was out and onto my next, like, terrible relationship.
Was stand-up helpful at this point?
Yeah.
Because you could just take it, you could throw it, you could vomit it on the stage.
Stand-up was a wonderful outlet. I started to get successful. So in May 2012, I first appeared on 8 out of 10 Cats.
Yes.
And I became solvent after that.
Okay, that was the moment.
And I started to have more confidence, and slowly my decisions got better, and
The thing that I was struck about you watching you do open spots back in 2010, before even, what year did you come over?
2008.
Was how fearless you were.
Mm-hmm.
Which is just impossible with stand-up. I'm doing open spots now, trying to work new material out. I'm terrified. I've always found that incredible, that you just don't seem to have the fear.
Well, I think when I came over here, I was very anonymous.
And that's quite useful.
That's so useful.
Mm.
Off Mike, when I first came in, I told you a bit of gossip about my hometown. Everyone's famous in a small town or in a suburb.
Yes.
And when you escape that and you move not only to a big city, but to a different continent.
Yes.
You're super anonymous. I had nothing to lose. It's really fun to have nothing to lose.
So going back now, so if you went back to your hometown.
Yeah.
So the example from my life, I recently had to go back to my hometown and do a speech at a funeral, a very close friend. It was always really sad. And I was so nervous.
Yeah.
Doing stand-up, it's fine, because it's here, anonymity kicks in, and I've got good jokes. If it's old stuff, it's fine. It's easy peasy, do the jokes. Going back home and being like, oh, he's the one who went off and did the thing.
Yeah.
This will be good. Absolute hell.
I crashed and burned doing that already. I was in Los Angeles promoting my first or second Netflix special. And by then, I got the idea that, oh, I understand the brief. This is what's expected of me. Every time I open my mouth, I'm supposed to be funny, a little bit provocative. And that's what people are looking up for. And I was invited home directly from LA to be the compere at my best friend's wedding. And I think she's not fully forgiven me. And this was like 6 years ago, 5 years ago. I came straight from Conan O'Brien, James Corden show, promoting my Netflix special, doing all these things, to comparing her wedding. And it was full, it was populated by small town elderly relatives.
Who all remembered you from back in the day.
Who all remembered me from back in the day and were told, but absolutely had no context of, like, she's a comedian. So they were like, what does this mean? And I went in like a best man speech and I talked about all the debauchery that my best friend and I got up to. And the whole conceit was, oh, you know, I'm supposed to embarrass her with stories of like that time we went to Montreal and like met these guys. But who cares, because we're 34.
Yeah.
And what about when we did? But it doesn't matter because we're 34 and it's not. And it really definitely still mattered. And her father was like, do you remember when your parents went away? And we like, it mattered a lot to all of these elderly people what we'd gone up to.
And did you feel a cringe thing that you otherwise don't normally feel?
Oh
did you
gosh.
Feel it?
I felt it, and it was a deafening silence. Like, people were horrified. My dad left.
I love it.
So bad. And they told me right before I went on, they were like, definitely don't swear. I was like, don't swear. Like, and it was probably, I think I actually changed the vibe of the whole wedding. It was that bad.
Were they like Mormons or something? Why was it so sort of uptight? And
it was more uptight than I could ever have anticipated. Like, I think there are family members of hers who still dislike me after that.
Oh, that's wonderful.
I don't even understand how it went so bad.
But that tells you something really important about stand-up comedians and entertainers generally and how we work. I don't see any of this as real. It's fun. This is nice. It's okay. The real stuff is the fame of being back in your small town or back where you're from. Mm-hmm. That's when you feel vulnerable. Everywhere else, I'm like, man, it's fine.
Yeah. And I think with a comedy audience, you expect that they buy into,
yeah,
we're here to laugh at something.
Yeah.
Whereas this was a complete miscommunication. They wanted sincere, earnest, crying speeches only.
I think that's actually more accurate with thinking about it. When I'm doing gigs and stuff, this is actually me. This is the real me. And so what can I do? I can only be my real self, right? Whereas when I'm back in those situations, back at home or doing the speech or whatever, I'm playing to a version of me that I think other people expect. And that is a disaster. This is not going to end well.
Well, why do we do it? We should just say I'm unavailable.
We'll charge a fee.
I'm not speaking at home ever again.
See the way to do it. Look, 25th of April 2013, some blue Doc Martens, £60 on some beautiful blue lace-up boots. Oh.
I wore those on stage a lot before I found fashion on stage. Yeah. I knew that I needed to be colorful.
Yeah.
But I still dressed. I wore colorful leggings, colorful boots, and a black t-shirt. That was my comedy uniform.
Yes. And then you started looking magnificent on stage.
I sure did.
What was that moment when these cat and run decisions happen and you go, right, I know they expect me to be funny. They now expect me to look X. Why did you make that decision?
Well, I started playing bigger venues and more elevated gigs. And I decided very early on that it would be polite to be the best dressed person in the room because everyone else is paying for parking. They got a babysitter. They had dinner. People were starting to come to see me on purpose.
Oh.
And I just thought it was rude to be in Doc Martens. And also, female comics, we talk about this all the time, is we were told for a while, or the narrative was like, don't be too feminine and it'll be distracting and the women will hate you and the men will fancy you, or no one will take your jokes seriously. No one will listen to you. So you see the women. And I actually, and this is very, very conceited of me, but I'll tell you exclusively, Tom, I am the reason why all the female comics dress up now in this country. Have you noticed?
Yeah.
That was me.
Yeah.
I know that it was me. Well, it wasn't me. It was my stylist, Jennifer Mahulski-Bray.
Yeah, because before that,
female
comics went to do what was seen as a man's game.
Yeah.
So they had to dress how a man would expect them to dress.
Yeah.
And fit in with a man's vibe of things. And then you started doing that, and it was this celebratory, this is femininity. This is what we look like. This is how I want to be. This is women peacocking. Forget men peacocking.
Yeah.
Women can now peacock.
I'll extend it too. I'm responsible for Joel Dommett's outfits on The Masked Singer. That was me too. No, I really think Jen, my stylist.
Yeah.
And I don't think that I throw my influence around. I wouldn't be like, I changed the game. I changed comedy. I certainly changed the aesthetic of women doing comedy. I take all the credit for that because I see them wearing things I've worn and using the photographers I've used and doing it. Yeah. And I'm like, good. And then they develop their own look.
Yeah.
But everybody really looks nice now.
You gave them permission.
You're welcome.
You were the permission laugh. Every good stand-up gig, you need the permission laugh.
Yeah.
If that person's laughing, everyone else is going to follow you.
Yeah.
If there's no gateway laugher, you were the gateway dress.
I really think so. Do you think so?
Yes, of course.
I'm not out of line saying that.
No, this isn't an opinion.
Okay.
This is a fact.
Good.
On another show, we'll go through pictures of stand-up comedians and I'll show you the point. And it's completely true.
And I don't mean it in a nasty way. They're not only allowed, encouraged. I'm glad that we all dress this way.
Yeah. Yeah.
But when I'm dead, it needs to be credited to. And then Catherine Ryan wore high heels. And everybody else was in a dress.
Do you want us to put that on your Wikipedia?
Yeah.
Okay.
What's the budget history of this jokester? Stay tuned for my mate bought a toaster.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
2014 now, Catherine Ryan, there's more Doc Martens here, so we're still in the Doc Martin days.
Oh, I had like a holographic...
Black here.
Black.
Yeah, just black.
Oh.
Yeah. Don't worry. Oh, look. This makes perfect sense. 2nd of November, the cute bear comfy dog pyjama set.
For...
A dog.
A dog. Yeah. Oh, I dressed my dogs, yeah.
Did you have two?
I have four.
You have four now?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So at that time, I think I only just had the one.
Okay.
Probably I was dressing my little Yorkie.
So how many animals are in your house right now then?
Currently three, actually, because one of my exes has taken guardianship over one dog.
Okay.
She likes him the best and he was lonely. But she visits us sometimes.
Okay.
You go for quite a small dog, don't you? You're a small dog vibe.
Yeah. And that, you know, it's because I grew up in the 90s and the early noughties when Paris Hilton, like the purse, the handbag dog became fashionable. And the Juicy Couture pink tracksuits.
Yes.
And I've never really abandoned that.
But do you still dress your dogs up now?
Less.
Okay.
Because it's so wet. I don't want their clothes getting wet when they go outside.
Yeah, it's horrible. They just rot.
But I loved dressing them in clothes. It's so cute.
These are gorgeous. Mm-hmm. The Etosel, what that means.
Puppy clothes, jacket. Oh, it's got a handle on it as well, so you can just pick the animal up.
You could tell that I'm earning at this point.
This is, yeah. Well, why you say that, Catherine? £4.59.
Oh.
Earning, but not that much.
Chinese, no doubt.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Thanks, China. £46 on the telescopic extendable selfie stick.
Selfie stick? What year?
Selfie stick. 2014. I think everyone was doing it then.
That
feel
was
bad.
Wow, it feels like a shorter time ago, the selfie stick.
That's 10 years ago.
Whoa.
Welcome to time. Welcome to the nature of time. It's terrifying. Now, we've got a power brush carpet cleaner, 2nd of August 2015.
Because all the dogs.
Yeah.
Dog Litter Box, Little Squirt by the Rascal Dog Litter Box Company.
Yeah, so it's a piece of grass.
Yeah, it's a tiny bit of Astro for a dog to shit on.
Yep.
That's delightful.
Now, I put them outside as often as I could.
Yeah.
But it was handy to have that little bit of grass in the house because when dogs are so tiny, their bladders are also so tiny.
Yeah.
And I moved. So the big life change there, 2015, was I moved to this beautiful Gothic church conversion in my neighborhood. But it was the place that I'd always walked past, and it was right in a park. And the park contained a duck pond and a primary school and nothing else. And it was my dream to live there in probably 2012 when things were rough.
Right.
And by 2015, I was there.
Here you are.
But it meant that I was high up in the church at first.
That's nice.
And so to take the dogs out was a bit of a...
So you're living in a sort of like the lofty attic conversion in an old church.
Yeah. It was 2 bedroom. No, it was 2.5 bedroom.
No, it's cool. You sort of described like a kid's book.
Yeah.
You know, I love those kids' books when it's like there's a nice school and a park and the dogs.
It was such, and I didn't know it at the time, but I really look back upon exactly that time as maybe the best of my life because my daughter was 6. So she was such a cute age and she was my best friend.
Yeah.
And I was out of bad relationships. I was into a good relationship. My life was great. And I started to get successful. As you said, I started to see the fruits of that labor, and that ascension only happens once.
Yes.
And then everything
just... You can't recreate that. That once that's happened.
Yeah.
But it's a lovely thing. You're lucky that it happened. Like, it's a gorgeous thing to...
I loved that time. And it was pre-Donald Trump, pre-Brexit.
Oh, I know.
Pre-lockdown.
We didn't realise.
No, we didn't.
2015 was such a sweet year. And also when the kids are at 6, I get quite angry when I think, oh, I'm not going to get that again.
No.
You were so cute.
Yeah.
So lovely at that point. I love that. I love that a little square of Astro.
I'm going to do this. Tom, do people get inspired by your podcast and go back in their own Amazons and walk down memory lane?
Yeah. A lot of people go back and go, I'm going to really go through it and sit and go bit by bit.
Do you know
this is how the whole thing came about? Because I was doing it. I was sitting there with Beth.
Yeah.
Going back, going, oh my God, just before I met you, I bought Britney Spears on Dairy. And she was like, why? I was like, why do you think about Britney Spears? Like the whole thing.
You've been with Beth a long time.
Yeah, too long.
Oh, my days, this is so embarrassing. I don't remember buying all these silly little strange things. I swear on my life, I was forced by my wife with an ABBA penknife that I bought on ABBA. Wait a minute.
2016, Catherine Ryan.
Yeah.
27 orders in the year. Interesting to see, by the way, how many orders you've got more recently.
So many.
Well, 2022, for example, 174.
Ugh, well, I started working with Amazon, so.
Yeah, of course.
I'm a Jeff Bezos super fan.
Of course, you made the stand-up show with them.
Yeah.
It was a great show.
Thanks.
2023 is when you peak on Amazon.
Oh, no.
Although you might still peak, there might be even more. That's 183 orders.
That's not even bad.
It's not that bad. 2020 in the lockdown. Yeah, that's good.
How many?
2020, 269.
Wow.
That's really good. We should just, let's just trample through 2020, you know, because I don't want to run out of time. We've got so many things here.
Loads of pregnancy tests.
Right. So you're starting to to repopulate the earth at this point in 2020.
Nothing else going on.
Might as well. I mean, there's so much stuff in this year. You have bought in 24 Hours in Police Custody, season 3.
I love 24 Hours in Police Custody. That's probably one of my favorite shows. I love it.
People in trouble.
Yeah.
Just watching how people deal with genuinely being in real trouble.
In Bedfordshire, always Bedfordshire. Luton is a problem, is what I've learned from that show.
It's so true.
So much crime and tracksuits.
Okay, good. We've got the Febreze Fabric Pet Odor Eliminator. The problem with Febreze stuff is that everything then smells of Febreze. Discuss.
I don't want to talk either of us out of any sponsorship opportunities.
Please don't.
But I do worry about chemicals now. And it's because the 15-year-old daughter loves fragrance. Mm. Since I've had the babies, I don't know if I'm more sensitive, but I think we should use a lot less of it.
Yeah. Are you going to go off deodorant? Because there's a lot of, my wife has started using natural deodorant stuff.
I don't use deodorant. Mm. I don't use any fragrance. And that's a shame because when
you
you're breastfeeding and you, no, I don't stink, but I do love some fragrance.
Yeah.
But breastfeeding, I just felt like a baby wouldn't like it. And now if I even smell my teenager coming down the stairs, I get a headache.
Yes, yes.
I loved candles and I'm out.
Does she wear a lot of what happens, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you go, if they all get on a bus, if you're on a bus at school chucking airtime, there's this cloud of stuff that comes.
I didn't realize there was a girl version of the Lynx Africa phenomenon that boys have after gym class.
Yeah. Is there a specific product or just...
They use... Not Rio de Janeiro or something. It's called, there's Sol de Janeiro. They all smell like that. Okay. And just anything.
Oh, God.
There are different ones, you know, because TikTok has got it so that it's a constant barrage. And whenever's the cool thing, they have it.
I always find it weird when fragrance companies name the fragrance after a place.
Mm.
Rio de Janeiro, Africa. They never do like, you know, Lynx Luton.
Yeah, you're going to say Luton.
They never do that.
Ooh, my baby.
Elsewhere in 2020, wow, a golden swan, white vinegar for cleaning, pickling, marinating and cooking. 5 liters of white vinegar.
So I eat that. I love white vinegar. And a lot of people use it for cleaning, but it's delicious.
Do you have a little clean and then one for mummy and then a little clean for you?
And I didn't even know it was for cleaning until I was in America at a Burger King on a class trip.
Yeah.
And I was getting chips and I said, can I please have vinegar? And the lady was like, you going to wash the windows, baby? And I was like, huh? Because in Canada, we put white vinegar on a lot of things. We love it. We make like soup with chips.
Oh, my God. Vinegar's delicious. Uh-huh. Good. Do you like a gherkin?
Love a gherkin.
Like the really proper big ones.
Yeah. They're difficult to find here, but.
Yes, they are.
American gherkins all day.
Love a bit of vinegar. Okay, good. Catherine Ryan loves vinegar.
Mm-hmm.
We always knew it.
And descale the coffee maker and go on your chips.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
It's a win-win situation. Mm-hmm. Loads of clothes hangers, obviously. Elsewhere in 2020. Oh, my God, there's so many things here. Look at this. 700 grams of mega marshmallows. American mega marshmallows.
Oh, yeah. We started doing cookouts.
Well, yeah, because lockdown was coming.
Making s'mores.
Pregnacare. Totally. Conception tablets.
I just think a lot of vitamins are like junk food.
You just piss it all out. You piss it all out. You're giving most of your vitamins to the fish, which is great. So we have very healthy fish. 10th of February 2020, the pregnancy test strips early detection.
Yep.
There's a lot. 20 of those.
So you can get bulk pregnant. I remember a comedian. I don't remember who it was. So I'm going to nick this gag. But his wife was trying to conceive and he was buying pharmacy pregnancy tests. And they were something like £15 a month. And he's like, I could have broadband. And it always made me laugh. I don't know why. It was from like 2010. But I was like, yeah. And pregnancy tests actually cost pennies. So just get them on bulk.
You buy pregnancy tests with all the plastic and the branding around it. And you get two for like, I can't even remember. They're like 16, 17 quid, I remember.
It's expensive.
Yeah, it's an expensive business. But it's warning you early doors. Having babies is expensive.
But these little test strips cost pennies and it will warn you as quickly as first response, which is kind of my, it's the pink ink. You need pink ink, not blue. You can get a false positive with blue ink. Always go pink.
Okay, fine.
I take a pregnancy test like every month.
Yeah, exactly.
Even still.
This is your hobby. This is what you do for fun.
People who are trying to conceive get into testing obsession. They love to test.
Yeah.
They'll test ovulation, they'll test conception. They just love, they get to love peeing on sticks.
It feels like the ovulation test feels relatively new. Mm-hmm. We were conceiving. It was all just about just go for it and, you know, work out the diaries. Don't necessarily use actual tests.
And this is what the comedian also said in his Bradman joke. He was like, just if a baby grows within you, then you're pregnant.
It's that simple. How was that first moment when you, at this point anyway, in lockdown? When did you know you were pregnant in lockdown?
I didn't know. So I'd tested and I was surprised because with Violet, I got pregnant the second I decided to get pregnant.
Right.
She, surprisingly, was not an accident. And I tried for 3 months and I remember not getting pregnant after 3 months and thinking, what? Surely I should be. But it takes people a lot longer.
Yeah, cool.
And then on the third month, I just went, oh, forget it, because we were going to Canada for Christmas.
Right.
And I was not, I didn't test that month. And I also didn't think I hit ovulation time because I'd been working. And then I was sick at Christmas and I took a test New Year's Eve because I felt so ill. And I was pregnant New Year's Eve in Canada. I was like,
when you were sick, were you like,
no, because I had, this is a whole story. You're never going to be able to fit anything I say in a podcast. I had, and I'm sure about this, early COVID, like before COVID, before lockdowns.
Right. Yes.
And they have gone back into blood banks and tested old French blood from November.
Loads of people had it in like October 2019. Yeah.
Yes. So late December 2019.
No, 2019.
Yeah.
Pandemic started in March 2020. So this is pretty.
So December 2019, we were filming The Duchess for Netflix, and they had all these signs around on set, like, we're looking at the water, we don't know, people had gastrointestinal, like, involvement, they had really bad coughs, people were dropping life vibes, sore throats, fevers, everything, and there were all of these investigations around set, like, there's something that's making people sick.
It was COVID.
And I absolutely now had COVID.
Of course. You're an early adopter. That's what you do, Catherine Ryan. The Duchess was a huge success, wasn't it?
And failure.
Was it?
Some people really hated it.
I thought it went really well. Was it on Netflix?
It was number one on Netflix for a little while.
Yeah, I remember seeing it going, oh, Catherine Ryan. Oh my God, look at her go.
It fell off quite quickly. It was an interesting time because I think it was the moment just before Ted Lasso came out that people wanted nice. Mm. And the Duchess wasn't nice. Like, she was nasty. And also, she was a bit nastier than I originally envisaged her being.
Okay.
Because I think you can be a woman who's provocative and who swears a lot, but you're not necessarily angry.
And it can put people off.
Yeah. So she was a little bit angrier, but I was, you know, taking direction. I was collaborating, and I'm really proud of the Duchess. But there was an article in Variety magazine, which is an important Hollywood magazine.
Yeah.
And this guy, wow. I mean, he hated it, but he hated me.
Yeah, well, that's often the thing.
And he really conflated the character with real me.
Yeah.
And the review became like, Catherine Ryan is the devil. I was like,
I mean, but any attention is good attention, right? But still, it's weird how people do that. And they don't realize it. So even with stand-up, even with straight stand-up, it's not really me, guys.
Yeah. It's a version of you, though.
It's a version of me, and it's a bit of volume change, but it's not really me.
But he just wasn't ready to metabolize it the way I intended, and that was fine. I mean, again, I'm lucky that all that stuff's fine with me.
It's important that you've forgotten about these reviews and you just let them go. It's the important thing.
I don't mind.
Whoever you
are. I actually think it's funny. It's a pretty good review because it's so mean. So it's like, give a good review or give a scathing one. So at least it wasn't in.
Do you get bothered by bad reviews? Do they upset you?
Not at all. No.
I just want, can you bottle that and I can have some of that?
And
is
the,
it vinegar? Is that what it is?
It's white vinegar.
I just think it's the best.
Wait, I'll try to find an excerpt from this review. It's actually awesome. It's so funny.
Yeah, please do. As you do that, I'm going to read out. June 2020, two times two, first response pregnancy early test kits. 7th of June, first response early pregnancy test kit. 5th of June, first response early result pregnancy test. Da, 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 da. This is what you do. You go, you're turning your house in lockdown into a baby factory.
I became obsessed.
Yeah, well, you have to be.
Here's the review.
Go on.
The Duchess is a tasteless misfire by Netflix. So that was like, you know, whatever. It's furthermore painful to watch stupid behavior and stupid writing treated by its creator as subversively intelligent. Personally speaking, I hope that even if she's never handed a megaphone as massive as Netflix's, she grows up to do more than create art as devoid of purpose, humanity, or worth as...
Guys, it's just that thing. It was a joke.
And I'm just sat at home trying to get pregnant.
We like to listen to Toast. And we're not the kind who would boast. And even in spite of the host, we still like to listen to Toast. La, 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 la.
2021, Catherine, and we're running out of time, right? So we're gonna just power through some bits and bobs. You've bought loads of TV, by the way. Yeah. You've bought 90 Day Fiancé, Happily Ever After.
One of my favorite shows.
Tell me about that show, please.
It's great because it's my story of people moving abroad to find love, but it really distills all the elements that you usually like of a reality show, because there's a clock, because you've got to get the fiancé visa within 90 days of them coming over.
Oh, good.
And they've always got a language barrier and a cultural barrier. And it's like, it's just an awesome show full of...
I love the fact that you like that show where someone goes abroad to find love, and yet you came abroad and then just got your love shipped over.
Exactly that.
Mm?
Yeah.
There you go. It's a way to do it. You're not going to find it over here. There's nobody over here.
No.
British men are awful.
They tried.
2021 elsewhere, £131 on a petrol water pump.
What's that?
I don't fucking know.
Oh, I know what that is. So Bobby, my husband, dug a massive hole in the lawn, which was tough for him to do.
Oh, we had to dig into the lawn.
And we found that underneath it was rock and clay. And he made a trampoline for my daughter, but not an elevated one, one that's dug into the lawn.
They're lovely.
Less likely to hurt yourself.
Yes.
You can't fall off of it.
Yeah.
And then it started filling with water every time it rained because it's poor drainage. Oh, yeah. So we had to get a pump.
So it's raining. Bobby goes outside.
Yeah.
He's now pumping out the water from the trampoline.
Yeah.
Oh, love it. But these things start with such good intention.
They do.
The idea of your man out there, you know, he was mowing a lawn when you saw him as a teenager, and now he's out there probably topless, digging a hole in the back lawn.
Doing our heteronormative gender role.
Totally. All right, good. 21st of May 2021, The Audacity, the first book from superstar comedian Catherine Ryan. You bought 10 copies.
Again. Not available in Canada. I had to send it to the relatives.
But this is not region blocked.
No.
They can read it.
Well, some of them are region blocked by their lack of education. But they try to read it. I'm from a very small town.
Was that your first book?
It was, yeah. Something of a memoir.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How was that writing though?
It was fun, actually, because everybody left me alone. And I love being left alone. And my publishers were really cool that they were like, just do different sort of how-to chapters loosely related to events in your life, and then we'll receive those. And I am surprisingly literate, and they did very little editing. I loved it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
But as a stand-up, you know your voice and you know what works, and you just put that on the page.
That's helpful. And I'm very transparent. Like, I'll just put it all on the page. And I wanted it to be a little bit like the early Katy Price biographies that I'd read when I'd come to the country.
An icon.
Yeah. Amazing. Do you know, like, people want to know about sex with Dane Bowers and stuff like that. And so I tried to put a little bit of salaciousness in it, but also comedy memoir.
What was the most salacious thing that was in it? Do you remember?
Well, Louis Theroux asked me about it to my face in my home in front of my children while they were somewhere in the house. He's like, tell me, you know, Louis Theroux.
Yeah, but he does it in a sort of nice, sorry to ask, but, you know, do you take it up the arse? I mean, that's basically, Louis Theroux is constantly saying things where you're just like, well, how have you got away with it?
It's pretty much that. But he wasn't prepared for, well, I really love Louis Theroux, by the way, but he wasn't ready for me being like, what story do you want on the BBC? Oh, okay. Yeah, well, I woke up with cum all over me. And, you know, oh, so I heard you sucked off your boss to leave work early. I was like, yeah, because, you know, it's like, I'm not as necessarily proud of everything that has transpired in my life, but I'm certainly not ashamed of it either. I won't lie about it.
No shame, no fear.
No.
Oh, I love this.
Yeah.
I'm running out of time. I'm sorry. I'm keeping you too long because, like, this is just...
Well, I know what I need to do if I want to leave early.
You just... Yeah. Oh, I bought so many embarrassing things. Pink CDs and a toddler that's in. All right, look, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go to the last few things. I mean, to be fair, Catherine, we've already done the latest thing at the beginning of the show, so that's done, right? But let's just see where you are. You've bought on the 29th of February, 2024, on the leap day, on the extra day given to us by our Lord Jesus this year.
Yeah.
All sorts of stuff. It's a huge lot of stuff. Kombucha Organic, certified organic sourdough starter.
Oh, Tom.
Talk to me.
I've been radicalized by Mormon TikTok. So I thought I was following this model called Nora Smith. She's really beautiful, great big lips, lovely children. She's like 22 with 3 kids and she's pregnant.
Wow.
And she's always cooking for her family. She'll be like, this morning my toddlers wanted Cinnamon Toast Crunch cereal. So that's exactly what I got started on. And then she like goes out in her garden and picks like fresh wheat, and then like she makes absolutely everything from scratch, and she makes bread. And so I decided that to be a good wife and mother, I also needed to make bread.
Interesting.
And then I realized that I'm just being rounded up by Mormon TikTok. She's a Mormon, or she and her husband are Mormon, and they, this is like what they do.
Is there a point when you make the bread? And so there's a sort of, so she's getting you in with the content, and then there's one video that just says,
not yet, but
Jesus, that's coming.
It's coming.
You know that's coming.
And it's like the soft sell of like, oh, you liked the feeling of, you know, making dough for your family and searing that meat and putting it in the oven for date night, and you're a good wife and mother, aren't you? And then don't you want to have more kids? And oh, actually, Mormonism could be for you.
I think you're breathing like a Mormon. Now you're eating like a Mormon. All you've got to do is start praying like a Mormon. And you're in that. Listen, Catherine, as we've seen throughout your Amazon purchase history, all these chapters in your life when things happen and because you're so brilliant, you're so talented, things have gone well. This is the next step. We've got an exclusive on the show. Catherine Ryan is about to become a Mormon. Now we know how it happened, all because of TikTok.
I like their musicals.
Yeah, exactly.
And we know I love money and collecting kids.
Multiple husbands.
I'm into it.
That's fine, right?
Yeah.
All about the bigamy. I can't thank you enough for coming to do this.
I had a lovely time.
It's so nice to hang out with you, and just, it's so funny.
And guess what else? I'm a fan of this podcast now.
Listen back. Everyone's done it.
I know.
There's loads of episodes.
It's a great way to get to the root of people.
That's the idea.
I love it. Talk about my intradental brushes.
Tell me about your intradental brushes.
You just have to use them. It's good for your teeth.
Well, you're the one on the time limit, so, you know, I'm happy to, I'll keep going for hours. But
this is so cute.
What is that?
A microphone. My son, Fred, calls it his teller.
Oh.
He's like, where's my teller?
Because he sings into it, just talks.
Sings into it, but he calls it a teller. It's so cute. I got some soil.
Oh, yeah.
Mormonism. This is a great game. I'm going to play this at home.
Catherine, thank you so much for coming on the show. This has been brilliant. Good luck with your future as a Mormon elder.
Thank you.
I think it's going to go really well for you.
Thank you.
I've always thought you were a bit Mormon in my head, so that worked. Yeah. Do you feel like you've learned anything doing this?
I have loved reminiscing upon what might have been the best years of my life, the 2015s of it all. Yeah. Weren't we lucky to be alive at that time? Yeah. Purchasing, like, toy houses and indoor dog litters and all the fun things.
That's the thing. There is something in that, that the time when you couldn't necessarily afford loads of stuff, but you get that one item and it's all the sweeter and more special for it.
And our life and our memories are kind of defined by these purchases, and how wonderful that Amazon keeps a record of them.
I know, it's brilliant. Gosh, if they ever pull the rug on that, if I ever log in and Amazon, like, no, you can't do that anymore. Oh, it'd be awful. Because it's a diary. It's your real...
It is. Dear Amazon Diary.
Oh, I love it. Catherine, I don't need to plug your socials. You know, everyone knows where you are. They can follow you and all the bits and bobs. Thank you so much for coming on the show. It's so lovely to see you.
Nice to see you, Tom.
And that's it. That is today's episode with the fantastic Catherine Ryan. Isn't she awesome? I hope you enjoyed it. There's extra bits on our Patreon, patreon.com/toasterpod. You can join for as little as £3 a month. Also, there's a video of this episode, a full video of the full episode, up on our YouTube page, which is youtube.com/@mymatebuttoToaster, which is a pretty easy thing to remember. That's youtube.com/@mymatebuttoToaster. You can see loads of clips up there, and full episodes are going up all the time at the moment. So if you could subscribe, that would be great. Like and subscribe. Do you know what I mean? Be so cool. In the next few weeks, Paul Foot is going to be my guest next week. And what a guest he is. This show is about going through your Amazon purchase history, Paul. How many things have you ever bought on Amazon?
One thing. And, well, I say one thing. It was a multiple purchase of seven, sort of, whatever you call it, of oregano oil pills.
That's next week's episode. Also, still to come, we've got Josh Widdicombe coming on the show. We have got Nish Kumar coming on the show, and many, many more whose names I daren't say in case they cancel. But there's some really great people coming on the show. So thank you for listening. Thank you for liking and subscribing and, you know, all that rubbish. And should we meet again? Should we say next Wednesday? Yeah? Okay. Bye bye.
It's my mate.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.